for the past 2 years, it seems like you've been traveling between Brisbane, LA, and Sydney. Can you maybe just talk a little bit about the past 2 years in terms of your art production?
Well, LA was a place that I had dreamt of before I'd ever like set foot there. And I think it was one of the most probably pivotal years of my early 20s. And I don't think I've fully fallen in love with Sydney yet. I'm a bit resistant because I'm still like, LA has my heart, so yeah. But I think I'm slowly like warming up to Sydney. I think the thing that is warming me is actually the great amount of queer and Filipino artists and like artists of color here.
Can you describe what that means?
Well, it means a very like critically engaged community that are like discussing issues that are very important to me. Like, for example, like Caroline Garcia and Benji Ra and Justin Shoulder, and like even broadly, more broadly, like Claudia Nicholson and Angelia Tiatia. Like, there are good conversations going, and I feel like they're speaking my language and that I can contribute to this like community.
What kind of language is that, and how are you part of that conversation?
I guess the language is, it's concerned with queerness, it's concerned with resisting whiteness, and like colonization, and I guess it feels the diaspora and this is a difficult question. I guess the language is something that I haven't fully articulated yet, but it feels good and it feels, yeah, you know when you can feel something in your mouth? I don't know.
Let's try to expand that conversation, and let's look at your most recent exhibition at First Draft, which was called, what was the name of that work?
It was Athena and Thorns was the exhibition.
Sure. So let's look at that visual language. Maybe you can describe that work and what it was about.
Right. Well, that exhibition was about kind of me kind of reckoning with my philo side and definitely my mom's side and the kind of femininity that runs through that. I've been dealing a lot with shame recently. I guess in dealing with shame, there comes this point where you kind of realize that those shameful feelings are kind of brought on by living under this patriarchal, capitalistic society, and like those aren't they're not authentic. Like they're not authentically you. And I guess they were kind of shaped to feel shame, and I think that's interesting. And I'm really interested in like finding where I'm feeling shame. And kind of turning that towards adoration. As a teenager, I felt a lot of shame for my philo side. And within my philo side, I felt a lot of shame for the kind of woman that I was presenting to be, which was not cis, I guess. And not that very like extravagant femininity that I feel like is very Filipino, which I love and I'm like very attracted to, but I don't necessarily embody it. So there was these two things that were kind of like clashing each other and pulling each other apart. And so this exhibition was kind of about like how can I hold all these two things like together in one space that makes me feel at ease, I guess. So there's a lot of my mom's mythologies. She really loves like marble columns and like these like very like luxurious things, but that's not necessarily me. And she'll say things like money is second to God, which I don't necessarily agree with. So I guess I wanted to hold these things and maybe. That I think are problematic to myself, but I still love and adore her, and I'm just like, how do I do that? How do I hold all these things together in one place? And how do I also put myself, my queerness, and my kind of femininity into that space?
Let's unpack the idea of queerness just for a second, and how that relates to a broader identity and maybe bigger issues that you're raising, which is, well, patriarchy, heteronormity.
Yeah, totally.
But also just the dominant structure of capitalism in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How does queerness fit into that?
I guess queerness is and I see it in a lot of other queer people, it's like that's the point of resistance, of all those kinds of pressures. It's about being able to remain hopeful and to continually love in the face of adversity. And I find, you know, heteronormativity, and that's adversity to me. I mean, that all those kind of things feed into really large social issues.
Looking at your body of work as a visual artist, and then going back to that idea, the idea of visual art as a language, the visual language, but also listening to you speak about things that are personal, mm-hmm. yet things that are public. How do you negotiate the things that are personal to you and private, yeah. and somehow stretch that into something that's public?
I don't really draw separations between the two. I love the idea that the personal is political, and I guess I want to create atmospheres, and I want to like communicate not through words but through feeling, and to do so you have to be like very honest, and to not hide things. I like transparency, I like full transparency. I don't necessarily see myself as being private, I guess.
Now I'm also wondering how the public, in terms of your visual, your art, artistic expression, how that public expression, if you will, mm-hmm. yeah. you can just play along that game for a while, how does that translate into interpersonal interactions?
Yeah, I guess I've recently come to terms with that I'm just continually going to be myself, and the world can change around me. And if they don't, that's also okay. I'll just kind of push forth. This is a really hard question for somebody. I can't
remember. I'm not even sure if that's an appropriate way to express it, because yeah. the idea of art practice being public, I mean, it's yeah. questionable. Maybe I'm using the wrong terminology. But I guess that if we put it in a space for people to visit, then it becomes something public.
Right. I guess the way that I approach my art making, and I guess the people who I think of my audience, I don't necessarily see them as being like this big, wide public. I see it as being this community that I can name. And I kind of like making work like that, because I'm speaking this language, and I guess I want my community to be able to understand that, and I'm accountable to that community. And so actually my scope of my audience is quite narrow.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks, Jake.